Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to continue to unpack Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech before AIPAC. If you've been watching VFN TV, you have seen this speech. We were greatly encouraged and moved by it. But one of the most important things that he wanted to reiterate, and we're going to talk about more today, is that our alliance with Israel is strong. I know that you've been watching on the media and the news a lot of just hateful and wrong speech regarding Israel and regarding our alliance with the United States. But understand this, that our history goes way beyond just a couple of years, way beyond just a couple of decades. In fact, our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and values, of which we're going to share more with you today. Listen, it's important to understand that our alliance, our friendship with Israel will always remain. And as the Prime Minister said, we are family. Yeah, of course, we're going to have some disagreements, but at the end of the day, we can come together and agree on the main thing. And on the main thing is this, that Israel will stay the Jewish state. Jerusalem is the capital, and we will not partner or allow any nation to do Israel harm because they are our friends. We want to support people and those in our government that stand for Israel and not against Israel. And we want to make sure that we stay close as a church in this issue, because a lot of times we can be complacent, we can be concerned in other areas. But listen, this is something that we're going to have to keep on the forefront of our mind and on the top of our tongue as we seek God and pray and intercede and stand in the gap for Israel and the Jewish people. It's important. We're living in very important times. If we've been outlining this month, March and April, it's going to be a significant time as things are going to be unfolding. I mean, we know that Prime Minister's speech is March the 3rd before the joint session of Congress. Shortly after that, March the 17th, about a couple of weeks after that, will be Israeli elections. And then 2 weeks after the elections is the March 31st deadline for the Iranian nuclear deal, which our government, our president, is supporting. Understand this, that if they develop these centrifuges at a more rapid pace, that allows them to quickly get to a nuclear weapon that they've already said they want to destroy Israel. This is not something that they're hiding. This is not something they're not being honest with. Right now, Iran is controlling so many activities of terrorist groups, if you will, without even possessing a nuclear weapon. In fact, it was Senator Lindsey Graham who said that if the president continues with what he wants to do in closing this deal on the 31st, he's going to unleash hell on the Middle East, because Saudi Arabia is not going to want to allow either Iran to have a nuclear weapon and then not have one. So you're going to have a nuclear arms race. Understand this, that I don't think it's going to get there. I believe that God is going to be the one to protect Israel, but we must be involved in these affairs. We must partner with God. He's given us the earth, and so we are interceding. We're standing in the gap and inviting God and our plans so that he can do what he wants to do, and that is to protect the nation of Israel. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this speech as well as discuss some of the principles, I mean, of our nation. We were founded on Judeo-Christian values and principles which will keep our bond so ever strong, so ever tight. But if we don't remember where we've come from, then we will not remain. And we're going to take this program and we're going to take our time and kind of unpack the speech that the Prime Minister gave at AIPAC.
Very encouraging.
Very encouraging.
I love it when he speaks.
Inspiring, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Clear, full of vision. And one of the things I thought was so interesting in the beginning of the speech was that he wanted to make things clear and settle things and say, hey, listen, in case you didn't know, our alliance is stronger than ever. And we're not going anywhere. We're family.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good, because you're hearing a lot of things in the news today that are saying, you know, Israel's not with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, America's against Israel. And that's not the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, the Congress, which is basically you, the American people, We're for Israel.
Absolutely.
We are for Israel. You may have one or two that, may share different opinions and different things, but those are far few in between. But he's noticed there was three significant periods, Steve, and I know you were thinking about that. We talked about this briefly, about when Israel was going to take action and did take action, in which the United States had different opinions as to what action they should take. And one of those was in 1948, according to the Prime Minister, George Marshall actually opposed Israel declaring their independence. Mm-hmm. And Ben-Gurion, first Prime Minister of Israel, said, sorry, that's what we're going to do, whether you're behind this or not. And surely right after that, it wasn't 11 minutes before President Harry Truman, with the full backing of the United States, says, we recognize Israel as a Jewish state, which was huge.
Yeah, there's never been a stronger ally for Israel than America.
No.
And we will do everything that we can to maintain that alliance, to maintain that relationship, because America is family with Israel.
Absolutely. In 1967, there was another occurrence in where, there was a Six-Day War, and basically, it was said to Israel, listen, if you go and continue this war, basically, you're going to go by yourself. You're going to go alone. Don't expect the United States to be with you. And sure enough, they said, well, we will act. And they did act, and they did alone. And, they were victorious. They were okay. They acquired a whole bunch of property. And, in fact, they gave a lot of it back, parts of Egypt. And they were actually willing to give part of Palestine back. They were willing to give it back, except that all they want is for the Palestinians to recognize that they're a Jewish state. Mm-hmm. And strangely enough, they don't want to acknowledge that. It's like, you want me to break off a piece of my bread to give you a piece.
You don't want to acknowledge where you got the bread from.
But don't want to acknowledge where the piece of the bread came from. And that's not going to happen. The third time was in 1981 when Israel basically destroyed the Osara nuclear reactor. And again, they had to act and do things on their own. And it's okay. I mean, it's okay for nations to do stuff by their own. The United States doesn't have to partner with everybody. It's great if they would partner with Israel. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, Israel is going to be able to do what they have to do in order to defend themselves. I mean, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there comes a time in history where you have to do what you have to do. I mean, the Prime Minister said that America's leaders are concerned with Israel, with America's security. But Israeli leaders are concerned with Israel's survival.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference.
That's a significant difference. And even in that same moment, something that was so, I think what is important to note was that he made that awareness of saying, the difference between is America and Israel. And he said, America lives in one of the safest neighborhoods. Israel lives in the world's most dangerous neighborhoods. And that's such a perspective that we have to keep on the forefront of our understanding anytime that we are talking about Israel, we're hearing something about Israel. As we talked about it, even when we were deeply covering Operation Protective Edge, is that anytime that you would see something on the media, you're going to see something as far as innocent people that were being affected by bombs. And then when you would see the Israeli Defense Forces, you're seeing a one-sided of the media. And it's like, we have to have that awareness of Israel has a right to defend themselves.
No doubt. Another thing the Prime Minister spoke about were that our values are stronger and unite us. They're more powerful than the things that divide us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing you have to remember about, that although there may be a disagreement, at the end of the day, nothing's going to change with our alliance with Israel, the United States. For now, we have seen how this administration, however, thank God that we have three branches of government. You have the executive branch, judicial branch, and, of course, Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have equal power. But you've seen an administration that has not always been friendly towards Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one particular speech where he went to Israel and spoke to the young people. Didn't speak to the Knesset, which is basically the Israeli Congress. Then chose not to speak there. But when he spoke to the young people in the first – maybe 45 minutes of an hour-long speech or an hour, 15-minute-long speech was outstanding. I mean, it was some of the most amazing things that anyone could say about the nation of Israel, but in particular from a president of the United States. I mean, it was amazing. So you could hear us on this segment. We're applauding. We're breaking in. We're thinking this is refreshing. And within the last 15 to 20 minutes of that speech, he basically unraveled all the good that was said. And what I'm referring to is that he suggested that the young people basically rise up and take leadership, and also that just take everything, just kind of shift everything to the United Nations. Now, when we know, when you make a statement, let's take everything to the United Nations, we already know because of the many times that we've shared this on VFN TV and VFN Radio, for those who are listening live with us, that there's an unstoppable voting block in the United Nations, and it's always voting against Israel and levying all sorts of sanctions against Israel. So when you're literally saying, well, hey, let's just defer to the United Nations, you're literally just pushing Israel over the edge.
Right.
And that's not something that, that historically has been something that the United States has done. And what we want to make sure, loud and clear, that the American people, all 330-some-odd million of us, who stand boldly and publicly and say, no matter what maybe our leadership may say, as for me, right? As for me, I stand with Israel. I support Israel. And we're going to do everything that we can do
absolutely
to protect them. We're also going to be talking about some of these Judeo and Christian principles and values that we have in common. Because a lot of times, too, people think that our values are based upon what's happened in the last 10 years or last 15 years.
Goes back a little
bit. But if we go back to the 1300s, we'll find out that there is a common thread. There are some principles that actually unite us. Because if you remember, that's when John Wycliffe, an Oxford professor, I have this article here by Yoram Edinger, and he writes about the Judeo-Christian principles that brought us together. And, he talks about in 1382 how John Wycliffe, an Oxford professor, we discussed before in the segment America, how did we get here and how do we stay here? You don't want to miss it. Where he actually produced the first English language Bible manuscript and wanted to get the hands into basically the local people and everyday folks, if you will, so that they can read the Bible. Well, that initiative started with the Puritans being able to leave, you know, where they were to come over to the United States, to America, people, not even the United States, to America. And we also found out that in 1492, that King Ferdinand of Spain actually was expelling the Jews. They were expelling the Jews from Spain. Many of them were beaten and robbed and treated very badly because they wouldn't convert to Catholicism. And he gave them 14 days to leave the country. Reports are that it was the Jewish people that actually helped to finance Christopher Columbus' voyage so that he can discover a place for them to worship. So you have the Puritans and the Jews seeking a new country so that they can worship God freely around the same time. And so there begins the actual journey. It's also reported that the map of the United States, according to this article, is filled with thousands of sites and cities bearing biblical names. There are 18 towns called Jerusalem, 32 called Salem, 18 Hebron, 24 named Bethel, 61 named Shiloh, 7 named Bethlehem, 14 named Canaan, 9 named Carmel, 38 Goshen, and 4 Rehoboth, and 6 Mount Zion.
Wow.
This is all throughout the United States. You see all these cities and just named after biblical names. We're going to continue our conversation about, Steve, the common thread, if you will, and the Judeo-Christian principles and values that we have and we helped found this country. I don't know if you knew this, but in 1752, the Liberty Bell, of course, the iconic symbol of America, it has an inscription that says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And it's literally referring to Leviticus 25:10. I mean, everywhere you go in America, I mean, and I know you're going to talk about Washington, George Washington's monument coming up here soon, but everywhere you go, you'll see scripture, you'll see the foundation of God, You see, the Jewish people, have they've been our friends, and we've walked together along this journey, this experiment called America. So we've had a long-lasting relationship, and it's something we got to continue to share, remind ourselves, but also to share with our children and give them context to history so that they're aware and they know of. In fact, during the Revolution, George Washington, according to this article, and John Adams were referred to as Moses and Joshua. And they basically considered themselves to be the people of a modern-day covenant, if you will. They were exploring this new land. Here in recent times, you know, Moses, who inspired Columbus and the Pilgrims and the Founding Fathers, according to Edinger, and the abolition movement, is featured in the center of the House chamber on Capitol Hill and the U.S. Supreme Court. There's plenty of courts, too, that have the Ten Commandments, you know, on the walls. It's so important that we understand that, hey, this has been like this for a very, very long time. And it reminds me of a gentleman by the name of Chaim Solomon. You're probably looking at an image of him behind me. But Chaim Solomon was really an interesting, interesting man. He was a Jewish man, a banker, and he played a pivotal role in the revolution.
Right.
I mean, significant. It is said that in August, and this is from Wikipedia, but it said in August of 1781, the Continental Army had trapped Lieutenant General Charles Cornwallis in the Virginian coastal town of Yorktown. But there was a problem here. George Washington and the main army, basically, they couldn't finish. They couldn't deliver the final blow. They couldn't get rid of him. And Washington's war chest was completely empty, as was that of Congress. So, you know, George Washington had no money. Congress had no money. And what we find out here is that they didn't have any food. They didn't have any uniforms. They were out of supplies. And Washington's troops were on the verge of mutiny.
Yeah.
This is not good.
They're being overrun. They have no finance. What do they do now?
Yeah, so this is not a good place to be. Washington was determined that he needed at least $20,000 to finish this whole thing up and wrap this up and say, hey, we're going to have victory. And
Now, mind you, that was 200 and almost 40 years ago. So that wasn't $20,000 today.
Yeah, that was big bucks.
Yes.
He told Morris, listen to this, when he told Morris that there were no funds and there was, you know, no credit available, Morris was relaying this to George Washington. He says, Washington gave him a simple but eloquent order. Send for Chaim Solomon. Send for Chaim Solomon. Solomon raised the $20,000 through the sale of bills of exchange, and Washington conducted the Yorktown campaign, which proved to be the final battle of the Revolution. Understand that God used a Jewish banker, a man, to help George Washington finance the last battle. But that's not all. It is said between 1781 to 1784, records show that Solomon's fundraising and personal lending, he actually financed a lot of people that were fighting the revolution out of his own money, didn't even ask for any of it back, okay? But it is said that he helped to provide over $650,000,
wow,
which in today's money is equivalent to $8.8 billion. Think about this.
Wow.
$8.8 billion, and he's responsible for much of the financing. In fact, because of some of the money that was lent out, he actually died penniless. He died without any funds. And he's remembered in Philadelphia and different areas. There's plaques all over. In fact, they've issued even a stamp, a Chaim Solomon stamp, as a hero of the revolution.
Wow.
And there's a story that has been shared that when George Washington wanted to remember what Chaim Solomon did for America, what he did for his army, he asked him, how can, you know, we repay this for you? And reports are that Chaim Solomon said, I don't need anything for myself. I want you to remember Israel. I want you to remember my country. And I want you to look at the back of this dollar bill that we have here for you. If you will look, there's something interesting on it. There's 13 stars for the 13 colonies, and they're shaped in the Star of David. Next time you reach into your pocket, pull that dollar bill out and look and see how our alliance has gone so far back. It's absolutely amazing. Now, that was back a long, long time ago during the revolution. But what was interesting here in recent times, and I think it was around 2012, if you remember, there was an earthquake and the Washington Monument actually suffered some damage. It was actually moved, I believe, off of the foundation.
Right.
And, I mean, I felt that earthquake. That was in D.C.
Yeah.
I felt that earthquake all the way in New Jersey. I felt it in my building. I had to get out of my building because I felt it that far away. But the monument was damaged. But something interesting happened to George Washington's monument. Steve, tell us about it.
Well, they had found out that there was some significant damage that was done to the monument that they needed to, what's the word?
Like, repair?
They needed to repair it, but there were some significant funds that they realized that needed to be raised and needed to be done and trying to find out who wanted to fund and who wanted to basically...
How much money was needed? How much money did they need to fix it?
Well, I'm looking at right now off of Wikipedia that it was $7.5
million.
$7.5 million. And this was for the Washington Monument, and this is in 2012. Well, the gentleman that they actually found who would be a financier for this, his name is David Rubenstein.
What's his name?
David Rubenstein.
Wow.
Jewish.
Interesting.
And it's like, this is so significant because... You know, you're seeing this common thread going back and forth from the very, even before America was founded, even before America was known as America, you have this relationship between Americans, you have this relationship between the Israeli people, and it's just like, this is why we are here, to stand with Israel, to be a voice for Israel, to say, we love Israel, we stand with Israel, and we will not abandon her in this hour, because we never have before this day.
I love what the prime minister says. Someone looking at my notes, you have to take notes when BB speaks. You just got to write down what he's saying because it's so good. But he says, we are more than friends. We are family.
Mm-hmm.
Our alliance has never been stronger. And I want to remind you of that today, that our alliance with Israel has never been stronger. And that as believers, God calls us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God calls us to bless the nation of Israel. I mean, you'll be blessed if you bless Israel. I remember as a young boy, my mom teaching us and encouraging us, my parents, to support the Jewish people, to pray for them, to look out for them. And because I lived in a community where there was a lot of Jewish people lived in my community. And today, no matter where you go, you always hear an anti-Semitic remark or statement. And I'll tell you that in the days to come, I don't think that those voices and those critics are going to go lower. They're just only going to get louder.
Mm-hmm.
And today it may be popular to support Israel, but there's going to be a day that's coming that it's not going to be popular, that it's not going to be the thing to do. And we want to encourage you today to be strong now. Get your sea legs now. Stand up now. Get used to it. Because if you can't stand for Israel today, you'll never stand for Israel tomorrow. Understand that the persecution that we've seen that's coming is going to happen to the Jews, first the Saturday people, and then for us Christians, JJ. And we're already seeing it now when 21 Christians are beheaded on the shores of Tripoli in Libya. Understand this, that it's not going to be long until they want to do that very same thing en masse here in the United States. In fact, we've talked about how it happened already in a town in Oklahoma where a woman who was working there because she would not convert and they didn't want nothing to do with Islam, one of the I believe it was Alton was the name, wind up cutting her head.
Mm-hmm.
And so, listen, be bold now for God. Stand for truth when it's easy, because there's coming a day where it's not going to be as easy. And if you can't stand now, you'll definitely fall later. But I believe that if we join together in prayer and do what the Bible just tells us to do, it's not hard, Steve.
Yeah.
This is not rocket science. If we just do what God told us to do, Second Chronicles 7:14, if we would just humble ourselves, repent, yeah. right? Turn from our wicked ways, cry out to God, then the Bible says, then he will hear from heaven heal our land.
It reminds me, too, of just how significant you're saying in this hour, the fact that we're raising up those that are going to be a voice for Israel. It reminds me of just like Harry Truman. When Israel became a nation and he stood, he said, with the full backing of America, we recognize Israel as a state. And he said he remembered those moments as a child, just like what you're saying, sitting on his mom's knee when she was teaching him the values of being able, we have to stand for Israel, support the Jewish people. If you're a mother, if you're a father, if you've got children, it matters that you're telling your children to support Israel. It matters, and it is so significant because there's going to be a day to tomorrow when those children are adults and they have a voice, and their voice matters when it's a bold voice for Israel.
And listen, stand while you can, because it's reported that in April 5th, 1945, Delano Roosevelt, who was the president at that time, wrote a letter to the Saudi king, and he writes in his letter, says, "Your Majesty will recall that on previous occasions I communicated to you the attitude of American government towards Palestine and made clear our desire that no decision be taken with respect to the basic situation in that country without full consultation with both Arabs and Jews." He goes on to say, Your Majesty will also doubtless recall that during our recent conversation, I assured you that I would take no action in my capacity as chief of the executive branch of this government, which might prove hostile to the Arab people. Interestingly enough, 1 week later, FDR died, and Harry Truman assumed the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And so understand that probably not a good idea to mess with Israel. Things don't end well. And interesting as things unfold, it was Harry Truman, who was there to be able to put the full backing of the United States. When you look at the providence of God and just the timings of things, things just don't happen. Especially when we know that the Bible says steps of a righteous man, righteous woman are ordered of the Lord. God has his hand in the events and timings. And you just look back and say, okay.
God's in control.
And we have to remember those times, because we have to remember today, this is not about being fearful about nuclear weapons. It's not about being fearful about what Iran can do and has the potential to do. It's all about knowing that God is in full control and he's able to guard the apple of his eye.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.